From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It's Taco Tuesday here in Mexico. Actually, every day is Taco Day, but anyways, I hope everyone is doing well. Don't forget, get some TNT Radio merch. Talk to me on the interactive live chat at the bottom right-hand side of tntradio.live, and let's take a look around the planet. Hu Xijin, I think he was the former editor of Global Times. I enjoy his Twitter feed. I agree with him usually when it comes to criticizing American empire, NATO, and that sort of thing on the geopolitics, but nothing beyond that. He tweets, the new Omicron variant is spreading fast, pushing adjustments in the COVID response in many parts of China. China's current rate of severe cases is about 0.0225%. Most Chinese people are no longer afraid of being infected. China may walk out of the shadow of COVID-19 sooner than expected. Come on, Hu, nobody believes that anymore. Tell us what's really going on in China. I got no idea. Is it Tiananmen 2.0? Are they afraid to come out of lockdown and start the whole hyperinflationary process? Or are we on the verge of World War III? I guess we'll find out soon enough. Some algorithm ghetto news over in the U.S. Just before Thanksgiving, Dominion Energy in Virginia disconnected electricity to, or threatened to, or forced a smart meter on more than half a dozen households across Virginia. The people are saying they have crossed a line. Customers swapped out their smart meters for analog meters and then were left without electricity. So we see these shenanigans all over the place now that's going on in the U.S. with the smart meters and just shutting off people's energy, electricity. And then you hop over to a recent piece as well in the UK. The same thing's going on in the UK. They call it switch by stealth, an alarming rise in homes with smart meters being cut off remotely. Well, I mean, what did you think they were going to do? That's why it's called the smart meter. And so, yeah, all these people today with their Amazon, I don't even know what they're called, Alexas and Echoes and smart everything. This is what you're going to get. So, yeah, keep on keeping on in that direction. Meanwhile, Giorgia Meloni in Italy, the PM, says cash must be king. I'm pleasantly surprised, Giorgia. Italy is to use more cash and fewer credit cards, bucking a global trend towards electronic currency after Giorgia Meloni, the prime minister, dismissed card payments as private money. She's finalizing her first budget, which is due to include a rule allowing shopkeepers and businesses to refuse cards and demand cash for payments up to 60 euros. The rule would raise the current limit of 30 euros and includes permission to sell and buy goods worth up to 5,000 euros in cash, up from 1,000 euros. So a small victory there in Italy. Take little stabs at the beast. That's how you do it. Interesting news with the yuan. The paywall just went up. My goodness. But basically how Russia is increasing its use, they call it now the red back. Not the green back, but the red back, the Chinese yuan. And Russia has massively increased its use of the yuan. So again, that trend of de-dollarization, multipolarity, the world island, as Halford and Mackinder called it, coming together. So you can continue to see that trend occurring. Meanwhile, I thought that this was funny. To fight West's hybrid warfare, Russia to ban LGBT propaganda, and the Western papers spin this as a bad thing. Alexander Hinstein, one of the bill's architects in Russia, said LGBT today is an element of hybrid warfare. And in this hybrid warfare, we must protect our values, our society, and our children. So that's fascinating. I can't say I disagree, Alexander. It is definitely an element of hybrid warfare against the planet, if you ask me. Am I going to get... is the EU now going to find me? Good luck finding me in the jungles of Mexico. All right. Well, a reminder real quick that help us out on the socials, on the big tech and alt tech platforms. TNT Radio on Twitter. We've blown past 2,000 followers. Follow us now on Twitter if you're still using it. Facebook, Instagram, Gab, Getter, and others. One easy way to help us get the word out on TNT Radio.
Stream the news wherever you are.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
For luxury fashion house Balenciaga, what began as a seemingly run-of-the-mill photo shoot designed to sell a collection of holiday-themed tchotchkes has quickly become a publicity nightmare of epic proportions, with the company facing widespread accusations of a deep-seated pedophilia conspiracy. The now infamous images of children holding teddy bears dressed in bondage leather-styled outfits have sparked outrage online, and the company has been busily playing damage control. The photographer involved in that campaign has maintained his innocence and is dealing with a continuous stream of death threats, according to reports. Meanwhile, images from a completely different photo shoot, which appear to feature some court papers related to a Supreme Court ruling concerning child pornography, has only added to the controversy. Here with the full story, joining me is TNT Radio News producer, co-host of Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, Adam Ruckus Clark.
Thanks, Rory. This is one of those stories that just won't die. Talk about an ad gone wrong. So, what happened and how did we get here? For the answers, let us turn to the dreaded Rolling Stone. Let's see, they say, released on November 16th, this photo shoot, which was called Balenciaga's Gift Shop, was an attempt by the fashion brand to promote, quote, an exploration of what people collect and receive as gifts, end quote. The photos were shot by Gabriele Galimberti, a photojournalist known for capturing his subjects with their personal items arranged in neat rows in front of them, and included wine glasses, beer koozies, jewelry earrings, and several distressed teddy bear handbags wearing fishnets and leather straps. So what's the problem? Well, the models holding the bears were children. An inclusion that several social media commentators immediately deemed inappropriate and a purposeful attempt by Balenciaga to promote child pornography and pedophilia. The outrage, driven first on TikTok and then Twitter, grew exponentially after several TikTok sleuths accidentally confused the ad with a Balenciaga Spring 2023 advertisement starring Nicole Kidman. In one of the public photos of that campaign, there's a page of the Supreme Court case United States versus Williams, which prohibited the pandering of child pornography. Coincidence? Internet sleuths don't think so. Thousands of social media users said the gift campaign was inappropriate and promoted child sexualization. As the controversy grew, users on TikTok began to go viral for throwing away or completely destroying their Balenciaga merchandise in protest. But a larger portion of the outrage can now be attributed to a major push from far-right influencers such as Candace Owens and Andrew Tate and Kanye West, who have cited the Balenciaga blunder as evidence that the Hollywood elite is actively promoting child sexualization and pedophilia. Some users have even claimed that the rapper chose to leave his Balenciaga deal, completely ignoring clear documentation and reporting that the brand actually removed Kanye West for his repeated anti-Semitic comments. A pro-Kanye podcaster said, covering the news, quote, people think Kanye is crazy, but see, he's been in Hollywood. He knows all this, S-H-I-T. Everything he's saying is real. Kanye knows, Trump knows, we knows, says one of the top comments underneath the video, which has been liked 15,000 times. Tristan Tate, which is Andrew Tate's brother, said, quote, "Turn off the World Cup. Burn your Balenciaga. Do not shop there anymore." He said this in a recent interview, calling for more people to expose Balenciaga. Quote, "And shout out to Kanye for cutting ties with those people, because there's more to all of this than meets the eye," end quote. Wow, this is just getting worse as we progress. Now, isn't it? Less than a week after the ad went live, Balenciaga pulled the teddy bear images and issued an apology, saying that using children as models alongside the seemingly adult items was a mistake. They said in a statement, quote, "We strongly condemn child abuse. It was never our intent to include it in our narrative," end quote. Well, as for the photographer, he tells Rolling Stone, while he was the photographer on set, this is Gallimberti, he had no creative control over who or what he photographed. According to him, he was approached by representatives from Balenciaga to use his famous documentary style to create a quote-unquote punk-themed children's holiday campaign. He says the young models were all children of Balenciaga employees, and he was not the one who chose the bears for the children to hold. In a statement shared with Rolling Stone, he said that they were responsible for choosing the bears, Balenciaga, adding the responsibility for the shoot, quote, "lies with Balenciaga alone." He says, quote, "I honestly thought those bears were ugly, but that's the only thing I can say for me. They were ugly, but I don't know if they're punk or bondage," end quote. The photographer says that in the past 6 days, he's had two planned jobs canceled and has had his personal phone number posted online with a message encouraging people to harass him. Well, that's not nice. So apparently he's dealing with a bunch of death threats. The company Balenciaga has taken full responsibility for pairing the bears with child models. However, it says it's not responsible for the documents and the set decorations that appeared in the spring 2023 campaign. They said in a statement that, quote, "The inclusion of these unapproved documents was the result of reckless negligence for which Balenciaga has filed a complaint. We take full accountability for our lack of oversight and control of the documents in the background, and we could have done things differently." So what they're doing now is they've filed a lawsuit as of Friday, seeking $25 million in damages from the production company North Six and set designer Nicolas Desjardins for the office photo shoot, which was the spring 2023 campaign, claiming both parties were, quote, "malevolent or at the very least extraordinarily reckless," end quote, in including the legal documents on set with Balenciaga's knowledge. So there we go. So they apologized for one and said, man, we just kind of made a mistake there. That looks bad, but there's nothing there, folks. But the other one, which, you know, the spring 2023, which has clear, you know, ties to child pornography. This is just crazy. So, Hervory, do you think that this is all on purpose? Is this like outright in your face, malevolent Satanism? Or is this just like what we might call like the fruits of like a satanic society that's lost its way?
Well, it could be both, I think. And I think it's outright in our face. Like, these people don't care. I mean, if they're that callous and thick skins to be carrying out the evil that they are carrying out around the world, we see it manifest in so many forms, from the same, you know, starting wars, killing millions without blinking an eye. People like Madeleine Albright saying, half a million Iraqi children, you know, it's worth it to get this one dude, Saddam Hussein, or, you know, this all these films that Netflix pedophilic film, I forget the name now, I don't have Netflix, but it was in the news a year or two ago. And what you're talking about, it's deliberate. I mean, these people are insane. I mean, if Aleister Crowley ate his own poop and reportedly actually sacrificed kids and people for satanic rituals, and Ron Hubbard picked up where Aleister Crowley left off with, you know, his whole Scientology thing, which is embedded with Hollywood. Well, I mean, what can I tell you? It's just crazy town. I think this is just scratching the surface of what's going on. And the sad thing is, not much gets done as far as I can tell. I mean, I do hear from news stories from time to time, local news stories or regional, where, you know, they catch some rings or something. But I wish there would be more justice done, Ruckus.
well, I might point out that while the world is sitting here arguing about the whether or not this is an outrage, like, oh, this is terrible to exploit children in this way, and we're going to point fingers, and somebody needs to go down and be held accountable. Well, you know, what about this whole Epstein thing? If I'm not mistaken, we have, like, you know, somewhere in this world, there are like these little black books. There are names and phone numbers and addresses and flight logs and a whole ton of information related to the exploitation and abuse of children that, you know, we got justice in that case. Epstein was arrested, and then, you know, somehow the cameras turned off and he didn't kill himself. I mean, you know, he committed suicide or whatever. And then, you know, we have Ghislaine Maxwell now in prison, and then, you know, the same thing could very well happen to her, of course. But at the end of the day, where are the clients? Where is the actual justice for the children who are actually abused, for the children who are actually being exploited? To me, this is just lip service when we see articles like this, and people like Kim Kardashian can come along and say, oh, I'm disgusted by this, and make an official statement, and the internet sleuths can have a good time about it, and Balenciaga, I guess, can sue somebody for a lot of money. I'm never going to see $25 million in my life, but I don't know, man. At the end of the day, it's all evil, and there is no justice in this world outside of, justice from God. That's all I pray for. They'll get theirs in the end.
On the other side of the river Styx, they'll get theirs. All right, we'll catch up with you soon, Ruckus. We'll be right back after this break.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
Joe Biden turned 80 years old, becoming the first U.S. president to serve into his ninth decade. Now, while Biden's advanced age and apparent cognitive difficulties have made him the target of Republican attacks, the combined leadership of both parties is older than ever. Now, Joe Biden celebrated his birthday with a brunch hosted by First Lady Jill Biden, with his childhood friends, Moses, Queen Elizabeth I, and George Washington, plus members of his family already in Washington for his granddaughter's wedding on Saturday. In a stirring speech in front of his friends, Joe Biden said he is the only one able to defeat Ronald Reagan in the next presidential race. And after trying to blow the chandeliers out, everyone sat down to watch Cocoon. That's Joe Biden, the leader of the free world.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Support childhood slavery and buy an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. I got a bit of a lengthy bio to read here on Vinny Caggiano, eclectic guitarist. He's a teacher, performer, composer from New York City originally. He's got a degree in music composition, and he resides in Venice, California. His life experience has brought him into the genre of traditional African music. There's a list here. I don't even know what kind of African music this is. He'll tell us about it, but he's logged in literally thousands of hours of professional studio work for various artists in many styles, including pop rock, African country, reggae, funk, blues. And he's done sound design for live theater companies, composed music for performance artists, played improvised ambient music for poets, and similar experimental work. He's a guitar and music theory instructor, One of his main passions is to infuse the principles of the blues back into popular music. He's also he's got a podcast where he deconstructs the music of the Beatles with his illustrious co-host, independent journalist James Corbett, who was on the show just a week or two ago. You can find he plays at a number of local venues as well, and he's you can find him busking at Westminster and Boardwalk in Venice. His current band, The Blue Kind, plays locally in LA. His website, vincognito.com. Buongiorno and a welcome to TNT Radio, Vincent.
Oh, buongiorno. It's great to be here. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's cool for you to come on. And I see you live in Venice, California, not Venice, Italy. Yeah?
Yeah, it's different. They call it Venice of America, though. And there's a section of the town where there are like canals. It was based on the original Venice in Italy.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Even, you know, a tiny part of Las Vegas as well. I've never been to that part of California, though. And I wanted to have you on because I'm taking a sort of different turn here on TNT Radio. I'm tired of the depressing daily, you know, following the Great Reset and all of this. And it's just like, we need to mix things up. You know, yesterday we had a guest on talking about Christmas traditions and talking about music with yourself. You know, the last few live blues performances that I saw was an impromptu performance on the Dalmatian coast in my other homeland of Croatia. And way back when, like, I was able to catch Taj Mahal perform at the House of Blues in Chicago. So,
oh, awesome. Yeah, I saw him live once at the House of Blues in Los Angeles, actually. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah. But, you know, maybe just to start first with some of the conspiracy stuff, you know, I'm just curious to get your take, your worldview when it comes to conspiracy, the New World Order, the Great Reset, COVID-1984. I know you work with James and you've seen his stuff, and you know, maybe you see eye to eye with folks like James and myself, or not so much. You know, what's how do you explain what's going on in the world, Vinny?
Can anybody explain it? I mean, it's so bizarre to be living in a world that's obviously imploding before our eyes. It's incredible. I've been keeping my finger on the pulse of the recent protests in China, for example. Utterly mind-blowing stuff going on. But as far as what they call conspiracy theory, maybe I could talk about how James and I actually met.
Mm-hmm.
I had my series about the Beatles that was done early on with a guitar student of mine. And unbeknownst to me, James became a fan and he was watching my videos. And I had no idea who James Corbett was. And then one day I got a message on one of my comment on one of my videos saying, James Corbett sent me. And I kind of sarcastically said, yeah, so. I had no idea who he was, but I decided to look at his channel and see where it was. And when I first got there, I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy is a conspiracy theorist just like me, you know? So immediately I felt a bond. And then I finally found one video called Truth Music 2017. And I just kind of scrolled through it and I saw, oh, here's a little bit about me analyzing the Beatles. So that went on for a while. And James began commenting on my videos. And one day he writes, the guitar teacher I always wished I had. And so I private messaged him. I said, listen, man, you know, we could do it over Zoom, you know. He's in Japan, of course, you know. We could do it over Zoom. And the cool thing was, like, James started out as just a little beyond a beginner. And now he writes his own music. He started a band, Kodomo-san in Japan. Funny because it's all white guys, no Japanese guys. But anyway, the cool thing was about the whole thing was just the evolution of it. Because now, after a guitar lesson, we sit and just chat for a half hour. We just talk. And we talk about world events and the New World Order and the whole bit, you know. And he's become, I consider him a friend now. He's more than a student. So it was just kind of cosmic the way it all came together, you know. So, yeah, That doesn't really answer your question, but you can be assured that I'm on the same page as you because I watch your Geopolitics and Empire podcast on Odyssey. I love it.
All right. Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay. So you're on the same frequency. But by the way, speaking of the Beatles, you know, I've got a guest coming up on the podcast, Joseph Green. He's been on my TNT show. He's got a new book. He just sent me. I'm trying to find that clip because it's related to the Beatles. He said something like, he concludes, he says, if you don't understand that the state killed JFK and MLK and RFK and Malcolm X and a whole lot of others besides, you're never really going to fundamentally understand how the world works. I would add John Lennon to that list. And I wanted to get your opinion on if you think it was Mark Chapman or if it was the state. But we're going to have to jump to a news break. So maybe on the other side, you can let us know. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. President Biden is calling on Congress to stop a nationwide rail strike by imposing September's tentative agreement on the unions. Dr. Anthony Fauci could not cite any studies that changed his mind about masking against COVID-19 during a recent deposition. New research shows fewer Australians are embracing cryptocurrencies following the plunges in their value in 2022.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And we're back with all-around virtuoso musician Vinny How do I say your last name?
Caggiano.
Caggiano. Okay. And the website is vincognito.com. You'll find all of his socials and things there. And I think you also give lessons. John Lennon, what do you think? Who really killed him?
Well, I don't know if you're questioning whether Mark David Chapman was the actual shooter or not. I believe he was the shooter, but you know, his obsession with Catcher in the Rye was kind of that's interesting because a lot of MK Ultra people seem to be connected to that book. So, yeah, do I think it was intentionally done like by bigger powers? Yeah, I think they were afraid of Lennon's influence, you know, and they couldn't corral him into the big club that, you know, you and I don't belong to.
Yeah, I've got that same. I mean, there's no way that I cannot not think that. I mean, after all those names that I just listed, and then you've got a whole bunch of others. My mind's going blank now. Hemingway, right? Hemingway was being hounded by the FBI, and they said his friend said that he thought that hounding by the FBI caused Hemingway to kill himself. And so, I mean, I don't. It makes the most logical sense that they did John Lennon. And let's jump around between conspiracy and music.
Sure.
And, you know, I want to get your thoughts on the state of music today in general. You know, I recall, you know, since the 2000s that music seemed to be on the decline. You know, back in the early 2000s, 2010s, people were talking about, like, no one's making good music anymore. The quality of musicianship and songwriting wasn't so good. I mean, what do you think about that?
Okay, just to be clear about it, I've had this discussion many a time, and before we go into whether the crappy music we're hearing these days is intentionally done or not, we'll get to that. But my point is that great music is actually being produced all the time, and you could find it on the internet. The problem is that what gets promoted is pure trash. In fact, James and I are planning to do a podcast with the the venerable Joseph Farrell, because he's a music theory nerd, actually. I don't know if not many people know that, And we're going to discuss whether or not this horrible music we're hearing today in the pop airwaves is intentionally created, or, you know, if it's just a question of bad taste.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I was just wondering in general. I mean, just over the summer, I was in Croatia walking along the beach and the city, and we stumbled upon a trio that was playing live music. It was, I think, two guitars, a singer, may have been drums as well. And it was mind-blowing. I'm like, high quality, live, organic, you know, music. And we stood there for like an hour. I bought their CDs and, you know, they still, I bought their CDs and I'm like, when I come home, I'm like, I don't have a CD player. So I have to find a way to download the digital, you know, to put it on MP3. But so would you say, I would agree with you then, all around the world, all over the place, there's people making great music. You've just never heard of them. No, like local musicians, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the powers that be learned from the 60s. They made some big errors in the 60s. I think definitely some really dark stuff was brewing around that time. We didn't get wind of it back in those days. I'm 66 years old. So I was a kid when the Beatles started making it big. You know, I saw them on Ed Sullivan, the whole bit, you know. But I think they made two mistakes. One was doing the mass LSD psyop on everyone. And what was the other one? Well, I can't remember now, but, you know, I want to quickly address the conspiracy theories behind the Beatles. You know, mm-hmm. I would imagine you're aware of some of them.
Vaguely. Please remind me. It's been a while.
Okay. All right. Well, to me, this is really funny. I've seen it over and over again. Tavistock Institute wrote the Beatles music, and they did it to control, you know, the direction of the youth at the time. The other one is Theodor Adorno, a German composer and music theorist and pundit, wrote all of the Beatles songs. I think, you know, today we can look at, if you're into the Beatles at all and you see all of this archival footage of them developing songs from scratch, you got to say, no, this is idiotic, you know. As regards the Beatles, though, I do feel they were inducted into the club probably around the time somewhere near Sgt. Pepper's, I think they were inducted into the club. And to their, you know, defense, I would say they were naive and didn't know what they were getting into. But when anybody, I mean, this is the way they work. When anyone becomes hugely influential, they get approached.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So this is what, you know, it's so weird because you take someone like James, for example, right? I consider him a good friend at this point, even though we know each other only from, you know, Skype sessions or whatever. But I'll see comments on Odyssey like, oh, how come James never brings up the Jews and, you know, all this stuff and like, you know, on the Beatles, because he has a big following. They'll also follow our Beatles podcast and they'll always talk about how the Beatles were, you know, a Tavistock invention and all this stuff. And, I don't think so. I think they genuinely were that ingenious and wrote great music. Why can't it be that?
I mean, there's all kinds of people out there. I think half of them are feds, NATO 77th Brigade. I'm not joking. And I'll get emails like that. And people who are really Nazi, anti-Semitic. I mean, I got an email the other day. Someone just sends me a link to some about surnames, about my last name, Moric. After World War II, many Croatians fled to South America. And I mean, the president of Chile is Croatian, Boric. And the title of the email said fake Christian, because, you know, I tell people, you know, I'm not ashamed, I'm a Christian, but so people know where I'm coming from. But it says fake Christian because there are some Croats with the last name Moric in South America that are like Jews. Like there are Jewish people with the last name Morich. Mm-hmm. So I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish. So I'm a fake Christian. Like that doesn't make any sense. And again, it's this obsession with the Jews. And I just feel it's very unhealthy. And we see things now with Kanye and Nick Fuentes in the news. And it's just, yeah. But and just getting back to that subject of Tavistock, it fascinated me because Jazz Cole, I don't know if you've listened to The Killing Joke, you know, the British metal band from the 80s.
I don't know them, but go on. Yeah.
But he's very into the occult, and I sort of grew up listening to them. And he talks about all this New World Order stuff. And he's given a few interviews in the last 2 years. I mean, this guy, when something's like going on, like World War III or, you know, pandemic, this guy flees to like Iceland. During the pandemic, he fled here to, I think it was Mexico or somewhere in Latin America, preparing for the end of the world. And he revealed that in 1980, when he put the band together, he lived in an apartment building with all Tavistock Institute industrial engineers, as he said, and that he kind of admitted that what he was doing through Killing Joke was sort of like Tavistock stuff. So what you, I mean, people can go find that interview with Jazz Coleman on YouTube. So he was admitting, like, he was living with Tavistock people. And so anyways, it's just, yeah, it's fascinating. And I don't know, have you read that book by Laurel, about Laurel Canyon? I've got it. I haven't had time to read it yet.
Yeah, I'm so, yeah, it's so odd because, you know, I grew up with these musicians and their music. And it's just so hard to conceive of them as, you know, conscious conspirators, you know. But I mean, the book, I haven't read it, but I've heard interviews with him and everything like that off the net. And it's kind of like, wow, you know, all these guys were connected with the military. Like, it is suspect, no question.
Yeah, I mean, my curiosity is the mechanism. Like, as you say, I don't think it's a simple answer. I don't think, you know, every one of these musicians from Jim Morrison on down, that they were necessarily consciously, right, doing, as you were saying, with the Beatles, they get approached, they get unwittingly steered, right, in different directions. Some maybe consciously, but it'd be hard to conceive of all of them, you know, it all being some Pentagon dude, some dude in the Pentagon basement writing all of the songs for the Doors and Zeppelin and whatnot. But to bring it sort of up to speed, you know, we saw recently with Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, and I think it's Jack White, that guy, they shut their Twitter accounts in protest of free speech. I mean, they don't like free speech, so they were literally protesting free speech. How un-American can you get? And so, and during COVID-1984, so many artists and acts forced their fans to be injected with mysterious liquids from the Pentagon, as I call it, DARPA gene therapy. Rock and roll was supposed to be anti-establishment, not establishment. Yeah. I mean, rage against the machine, not rage with the machine. After the past couple of years, how have you sort of digested this, you know, inversion that we've been seeing with rock and roll?
Well, I think we're seeing a separating from the wheat from the chaff here, you know. The musicians who can see through this, you know, well, look what happened. You know, you take someone like Eric Clapton, the poor guy, man. I saw his, he posted his song on Twitter, and I looked at the comments, and it was just, you know, if these people, you know, are supposedly on the side of good, right? They were saying the most ugly things to this man. Like, Clapton lost his child in New York, I think it was in the 80s, a horrible death, fell out a window. And people were making comments about that in order to denigrate him. You know, if these are the good people, I want to be bad. You know, if they're, you know, the ones that, you know, are pro-vax and it's for the sake of humanity, I don't want to be part of that group. I'm not.
Yeah, it's, I saw someone tweet, I think it was Tanya the Herbalist. She's a great podcaster. She tweeted something to the tune of, oh, I'm trying to find it. It was really good. I'll find it during the break. But yeah, and you know, we had Van Morrison and Five Times August, who's often on TNT Radio. I had him on my podcast. I called him the new Bob Dylan. And I was happy to see him recently with his Silent War album get like number one on Amazon, number one on Apple. And so, I mean, really, that I was proud for him, for someone just standing up with, as they say, nothing but three chords and the truth, right? And that's all you need. And so, you know, any further thoughts on some of these issues?
Yeah, no, I was a follower of Five Times August from right out of the box, you know, right out of the gate. I heard about him and I followed him. He was interviewed by Del Bigtree on his channel. And I think what he's doing is great. And it's funny, too, because he actually said on a recent interview, I think it was with Alison Morrow, he said something like, "Where is today's Dylan?" And you're saying, well, he is. For me, my predicament is that I've given up writing songs with lyrics that you could sing. I just become a pure musician, you know. So I have to rationalize, like, well, what good am I doing? You know, I go out, here I am a 66-year-old man, and I go out on the boardwalk and play music for people, and I have a crowd there that comes and listens to me, and they really like it, you know. And my rationalization, like, what good am I doing for the world? What is my pushback? And the only thing I could say is I'm making as beautiful music as possible, because beauty is what touches the soul. It's that ineffable thing that reaches deep, deep into the psyche of a human being and reminds them that they're human. So I feel like, all right, that's a good rationalization for what I do. And, you know, this is my way of pushing back. You know, I was never like political in the sense of I'll go to rallies and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I never was that kind of rah, rah, rah person.
You could put up some, you know, while you're performing your instrumental, put up some big posters alongside your setup that say, you know, resist the great reset or, you know, stuff like that. But just to echo what you said, you're spot on, because as I said, this summer, I was unable to go home to Croatia, to the Dalmatian coast, because everything was locked down. I've never taken a darn PCR test. I refuse, or a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And finally, they got rid of all that. We finally went for 3 months, and we're walking alongside. You know, I used to live. It's old Roman ruins still. So we're walking around Roman ruins, my hometown in Croatia, and. As I said, these musicians were playing, and I was just shocked. Like, I was in shock because for years we were unable to experience this. And I know Cobra Commander Klaus Schwab, he wants to do away with live music, right? He would just have us listen to electronic beats made by a robot. And I was like, I threw money in their guitar case because, like, this stuff needs to survive. We can't let the Great Reset, you know, kill everything. You know, they don't want us to eat meat, they don't want us to work, they don't want us to own anything, they don't want us to consume live music. And I'm like, no, we have to keep it going. And just as you said, for me, it was a respite for that, you know, 1 hour or 2 hours. It was just what you need, you know, to decompress from the madness that's going on. So what's the best website for people to visit for you?
For me, vincognito.com is my website. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/vincognito, all one word.
All right.
Basically, if you search, if you Google or whatever, like whatever search engine you use, Vincognito, you're going to get a ton of stuff on me.
All right, we're going to jump to a break. So while we're at break, people can check out vincognito.com. We'll be right back.
We're saved. Climate activist Greta Thunberg is suing her native country of Sweden for failing to make the climate better.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Greta Thunberg has been joined by 600 plaintiffs in the Swedish case. Greta is suing the Swedish government for, quote, insufficient climate action. Greta claims that the state of Sweden has carried out climate policy that, quote, threatens our human rights, it breaks the law. So Greta Thunberg actually believes that a lawsuit forcing the Swedish government to act on climate will result in an improved climate? Less storminess? Humans used to believe that witchcraft trials would bring about less crop failure and less food shortages during the Middle Ages. The question looms. Have we advanced since medieval times? Yes, you too can sue your government to improve the weather. What a novel concept. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Klaus Schwab has boasted of penetrating government cabinets around the world. He claimed in one interview that more than half of Justin Trudeau's Canadian cabinet are young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. If freedom prevails, the peoples of all nations will reject Klaus Schwab's fourth industrial revolution of surveillance and control and biotechnologies designed to change what it means to be human. We don't have to walk muzzled and compliant straight into a transhumanist hell. As Klaus Schwab himself admits, the new technologies of the fourth industrial revolution could intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior.
TNTRadio.live.
Online.
Streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
We're back with Vinny Caggiano, guitarist, teacher, performer, composer. He does a podcast with James Corbett as well. VinCognito.com. You'll find all of his stuff there. Subscribe to his Odyssey and YouTube. And please start using Odyssey more. Start moving away from YouTube. But Vinny, do you think, you know, Guns N' Roses was just here in town in Mexico performing live? Do you feel we're slowly returning to some semblance of normal when it comes to live music?
Somewhat. I mean, they've eased up the restrictions and all that with the vaccines, but I don't know. Return to normal is a phrase I've given up on. I don't think we are going to return to normal. My belief is, have you ever followed Jason Brashears of Archaics at all?
No. Now I will.
You'd have to get, like, I found him because I was investigating the whole Tartaria thing. I don't know if you ever heard about that, but it's a really twisty, winding set of rabbit holes. In order to understand it, you have to understand a lot of things and hold on to it. But he's a interesting character, worth looking into. His shows can be compelling, actually. Anyway, return to normal. Now I lost my train of thought.
I was talking about live music. If you saw live music making a comeback, and I'd agree with you. I think we've crossed the Rubicon moment. We'll never be going back to normal.
Yeah, what I was going to say, actually, I thought of him because he believes that there's going to be like a great calamity in 2040. And he believes these resets happen cyclically, believe it or not, once every 138 years. And he kind of found a mathematics behind historical events, and that's why he's saying all this. But in any case, my point is that a reset in this day and age was inevitable. It was going to happen. All right? I think what happened with the elites and all that is that they knew that this reset is happening. And like they do everything, they thought, how can we steer it? And that's what they're doing right now. They're steering this reset. But I think basically, there's a lot I could tell you about, a lot of stuff like having to do with evolution and cosmic particles and a whole bit. But we don't have time for all that. I believe that, that there was bound to be an evolutionary jump in the next coming years. And it's coming at a faster and faster rate. And this is what the elites are terrified of, that we'll kind of jump to the next level before they can control us.
Do you think, by the way, I do know our Archaics because during the pandemic, I'm always looking for new people, new podcasts. And I did come across him, and I did watch one of his clips briefly, and I bookmarked his site. But the problem is there's just so much stuff, and it gets lost in the bookmarks. And so I did find his stuff at some point over the past months. I did find that quote, just to refer to what we were talking about before, how people were wishing you or Eric Clapton ill. Tanya, the herbalist, tweeted recently, "The difference between us," she's talking about the vaxxers, she says, "you took the shot and I would," you took the shot and wished I would die. I watched you take the shot and prayed you wouldn't. And the craziest thing is I've actually heard real people that I know here in Mexico. I've heard a vaxxed person in Mexico tell their unvaxxed sister like that they wished that they would die. Like it's unbelievable. I've actually, it's not just something on social media. I've heard it with my own ears. But just getting back to what you were saying, this evolutionary jump, do you think it has to do, you know, recently I spoke with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. He's convinced in 2029, you know, the singularity is coming and transhumanism and all of that. Do you think the singularity sort of represents that jump?
Do you mean I think, look, technology is not a bad thing. After all, you and I are talking. This is a wonderful thing. You know, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way for people to connect all over the world. It's got a lot of advantages, but it's being misused. And, you know, if you talk to an astrologer, you know, we're in the entering the age of Aquarius. Well, Aquarius is about technology. So I think I don't like technology personally. I really don't like it. I don't like the synthetic nature of it. It's just me. I guess I'm kind of a Luddite in that way. But I think it's possible that the technology thing is kind of inevitable, you know. You know, if you were to vision like alien civilizations and, you know, around the universe, you have to assume that they, you know, technology is the next step. It's the next step to going out into the universe or whatever. So I think it's inevitable, unfortunately. It's just it's been said before, you know, that we're not spiritually mature enough to have the power that we have right now in our technologies.
I'm like you. I prefer analog, you know.
Yeah.
So my work requires of me to do all this digital technological stuff. But if I had the choice now, I mean, I used to live in a yurt in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia, heating up my yurt with dung, you know. And so I'd be happy to go back to that. But just on the elites, I mean, what do you think is their goal? So, from your vantage point, you know, what do you feel are some of their goals, or, you know, what's their end game?
I'll try to, like, as far as the reset goes, right, in reference to that, I'll try to compress it based on what I've looked into and enjoyed is, I considered recently that it's very, very easy to rewrite history within 100 years' time, that you could make any history happen within 100 years' time, any set of lies, you know. And I'm starting to believe that Jason might have something in his theories, that there is a recurring reset that happens. And I think I'm forgetting your question. I'm so sorry. What was it again?
Just the end game. Like, you know, where do you think they're hurting us towards? Yeah.
All right. Let's imagine that there is a great calamity that's coming up, right? Maybe some sort of cosmic event, you know, a mega Carrington event that takes out all the electricity, whatever, right? And it's interesting to watch that the elites are not only building underground bunkers, but they're trying to get to Mars as well. So they're seeming to plan some sort of escape route. And I don't think they have their robot technology to a point where they can completely replace human beings. So they're going to need people to serve them, you know. Anyway, my take is that they're definitely trying to destroy most of the population. And the ones that are viable in the end will be taken and be used to basically service them in their underground bunkers and on Mars and whatever. So I've got, we're living through a science fiction nightmare, man. It's unbelievable, you know, to even be thinking of these in these terms seriously. You know? So, yeah, I think their end game is to dumb everybody down, to have complete and total control. Perhaps the transhumanist thing is their way to get compete. They just want servants. They want servile, soulless, biological robots. It's scary to think about. It really is frightening to think about it.
Yeah.
I think that's their end game.
Yeah, it's Total Recall, really. We are living in science fiction. We got about a minute left. You know, just any final thoughts? I was going to ask you, how do we stay sane during all of this? For me, music is one big key thing, you know, that I can, you know, tune out of all of this stuff and just listen to music and stare at the sky. You know, any final thought for us? And let us know again, where's the best place to find you if you have any projects you want us to know about or services.
Well, I'd refer, I agree with you about music. I think anything that can get you in touch with the beautiful and get you in touch with remembering that you are a soul is important. The recent
30 James seconds Corbett, real quick. Mm-hmm.
So my information, you can find me on YouTube /Vincognito, on Facebook /Vincognito. My website's Vincognito.com. Basically, that's my brand.
All right. I hope you join me again. And I love chatting with you, and keep up the great music, great work. We'll be right back after this break.